Some Bible scholars see a progression as Jesus evaluates seven successive churches in the book of Revelation. They see the passing of history, with each church representing an era of time. If so, we may be in the last era, part of a church Jesus says he will spew out of his mouth. Is your church spiritually hot or, like the one at Laodicea, merely lukewarm? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, as we visit the church at Laodicea, which could be your church or mine.
Now, all of us know that if you have a good doctor who gives you a diagnosis and also a cure, you most assuredly should take that cure. But of course, if you are self-absorbed, if you are prideful and think that you know better than the doctor, you'll try to figure out ways to ignore what he has to say. You'll disagree with his diagnosis, and you'll also disagree with his cure to your personal hurt. Jesus is the physician of the soul, and he has so much to say to us in his word. And if you take your Bibles today and turn, please, to Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, where Jesus begins the last of seven letters to the churches of Asia Minor. All of these churches existed in what today is called Turkey. And unfortunately, none of the places exist as churches. Archaeologists, of course, have found all of these places where the cities were, but the churches today do not exist, and that creates a tremendous lesson for all of us. But Jesus here is giving his last word. It's his harshest word, but it is also his most unbelievable word of hope and encouragement that boggles our minds. Chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, he says these words to the church at Laodicea. The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Who is it that is going to diagnose our case? Who is it that is going to prescribe the cure? He is the Amen. That word means verily or truly. He is the faithful witness. He's someone who is not going to lie to us. Someone who will not tweak the evidence. And he is the beginning of God's creation. Now, there's some people deny the divinity of Jesus, and they use this text. They say that Jesus was the first of God's creation. But actually, the idea here very clearly is that he is the originator of God's creation. The Father created through the Son. By him were all things created, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, visible and invisible. So Jesus here is represented to us as the originator of God's creation. Now, the reason we need to pay attention to this text very carefully is because he is also omniscient. And today he can see right through us and see our need. So with that introduction, let us look at what it is that he has to say to the church. Let us look at the diagnosis, and then let us also look at the cure and the hopeful response that people may have in his blessed presence. First of all, we have the diagnosis in verse 14 and 15. He says, I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Ouch. Most of the time we interpret it this way. We say to ourselves that there were streams that were going into, actually an aqueduct that was going into the town of Laodicea. And the water was piping hot. So we think to ourselves that what Jesus meant is this: I would rather have you hot, passionate for me, or totally icy and indifferent and turned off. I'd rather have you that way than lukewarm. But there's a different interpretation. Someone who has done some extensive study, archaeologically and in other ways, has come to the conclusion that that's not exactly what Jesus had in mind. Actually, in Laodicea, there were two kinds of aqueducts. There was that which came from Hierapolis, and those were very hot springs that people would bathe in, and it was believed that they had many cures. And then there were also some springs that were very cold and refreshing. And you went from one to the other, like people do today when they go to a spa. And so Jesus was saying, you can either be hot and passionate, or you can also be refreshing and cool and able to take people in their need and give them and invigorate them. You can be one or the other, but whatever you do, don't be lukewarm. So maybe that's what Jesus had in mind. But lukewarmness, neither hot nor cold, it's tepid. Jesus said that I will spit you out of my mouth. He's talking about the indifference of the people to whom he was writing this letter. Indifference. Does that characterize you today? Now, what is going on here in the text? Jesus goes on to say in his diagnosis, for you say, verse 17, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. In Laodicea, the people were wealthy. And they were wealthy because there were trade routes that went through the city, and so they were quite opulent, the people were, for that day. And they had a lot of things that others didn't have. Furthermore, they had eye salve. This was in connection with one of the temples that was there in Laodicea. They believed that in this medical school that they had eye salve that actually could stop the disintegration of eyesight. So they prided themselves in that. Furthermore, they also, in addition to that, had a textile industry. The people at Laodicea, they dressed differently than the others. They were the ones who wore the designer clothes. And they prided themselves in the cloths and the rugs and the garments that they would make. Now, what Jesus is saying is this, and notice it carefully. He's saying, despite your bank accounts, you are actually poor and pitiful and wretched. Wow. He says, despite the fact that you think that you have this clinic for sore eyes and the salve that will help them, despite this, Jesus said, you are blind and you think that you have all of these wonderful clothes. He says, you are naked. What Jesus is saying in the strongest possible way is simply this. Everything that you think you are, you aren't. Have you met people like that? Of course you have, because you're here today, aren't you? Aren't we all that way? Our self-perception is very different than God's self-perception. And so here you have a church that outwardly seemed to be prosperous. They never had false doctrine. At least Jesus doesn't address that like he does some of the other churches. But Jesus is saying to them that inwardly, from what I see, you are very different. And Jesus sees us that way today too. He sees us as to who we really are, including the rot. You remember this past summer we had a great storm here in the city of Chicago, and later on, a day or two later, Rebecca and I walked through a forest preserve. We love to go walking in the forest preserve. And we noticed that some trees were broken over. In fact, I think in Chicago in total, there were more than 2,000 trees that actually blew over. What was interesting is to look at those and to see within. And you discovered that the ones that blew over oftentimes had within them all of that rot and hollowness that you couldn't see from the outside. What a different picture when you look within from the way in which we perceive it from without. And God says, I am the Lord and I test the human heart. Jesus says that in my presence you are very different than you think you are, and because you are so indifferent and careless, which means that you could care less, I will spit you out of my mouth. Those are the words of Jesus. I'm not making it up. It's in the text. Now, what is the cure that Jesus has? He doesn't leave us there. It's the diagnosis that's very, very serious. And you and I all have very, very serious issues before God. Jesus says this now as we go into the cure. I counsel you. By the way, isn't that wonderful that Jesus is the counselor? I've known people who have paid $100 for half an hour of counseling, and maybe it was worth it. But imagine getting counseling from Jesus, and it's free. Isn't that wonderful? He says, I counsel you, and here's his counsel. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich. Now, of course, he doesn't mean that salvation is something that we pay for. He's using the terminology of the vendors there in Laodicea. He says, I challenge you, come and buy gold from me. We know, of course, that salvation is free. Ho, everyone that thirsts, comes to the water. Whoever has a need, come buy milk and wine without money and without price. It's all free. That's a quotation, by the way, from Isaiah chapter 55. And Jesus says, of course, it's free. But you want the true riches? You come to me. Now look at the text. What else does he say? Buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. What Jesus is saying, you know, is all those wonderful clothes. You know, I'm from Laodicea. Look at the labels, you know. And inside, you have all of those imaginations. Inside, you are selfish. You do not love me with your whole heart. Inside, you are filled with all manner of lusts and addictions and all that. Come to me, and I'll give you some real clothes. I'll give you white garments that will cover your sin.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do need to emphasize again, where do we go except to Jesus? Couple of things. First of all, he knows exactly what is in our hearts. That can be very frightening, but it can also be very comforting to think that he knows what is in our hearts and still loves us. That is truly, truly amazing. But Jesus not only knows what is in our hearts, he actually has the ability to change us, to set us free, to cleanse us. I urge you today, no matter where you are, you come to Jesus, even as he exhorted this church to do that. Let us do that individually. Let us do that together as the body, and we'll experience his transforming power. Stay tuned, because you'll receive information as to how you can receive these messages for yourself and pass them along to others. God bless you. Have a good day, all day.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing When Jesus Observes Our Hearts, his last message on what Jesus thinks of his church, taken from Revelation chapter 3. Tomorrow, more on regaining the lost fervor we once had for Christ. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We all need to know what Jesus thinks of his church, and this entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.